Welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show, www.thematthewaaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, Matthew Aaron on Facebook. I got a ton of questions for Dave Coulier that are just flowing in. And
Lee Capreas here, hello.
Yeah, with Lee Capreas. And we're going to, Dave's eating right now, so we're going to let him eat.
Yeah, let him have his chili dog.
Sucking on chili dogs outside the Tasty Freeze. You're at 8873 West Sunset Boulevard, Coney Dog, Detroit style. Mike Binder's joined, and Tim Allen, Sam Raimi, Adam Sandler. You get your Coney Dogs, which is chili and onion and mustard and great sausages, a winter sausage.
Yeah.
And I think that metal straw is making me...
It's actually made of asbestos, isn't it?
I don't know.
An asbestos straw.
I got a metal straw yesterday because plastic's out, people. I don't know if you know this, people, but plastic is out. According to someone I had lunch with yesterday.
Okay.
And they gave me a metal straw, and so I've been using it. And it, you know what? The drink tastes more pure.
Well, yeah.
Let me find out. I know where you can get these metal straws. They're actually great. I'd give it a free plug. I Facebook too much. This is the problem. I Facebook too much. www.plasticpollutioncoalition.org.
Okay.
PPC, I guess, didn't work. They had that taken already. You know what I was reminiscing about today, too?
What?
Remember when we interviewed Lou Ferrigno?
Yeah, that was
love,
awesome.
I love that picture.
Yeah, that's a good picture. Yeah, right. You holding a microphone above your head.
Oh, to Vic Bonprezzi and Jackie who are listening right now, love you. You guys are the best. Lenny and his finals. Lenny, as you know, is a common character on this show, and he's a real person, I'm reminding people.
Yep.
He has finals for law right now. He's in law school. And best of luck, Len.
Best of luck.
You don't need it. You're good.
Yeah.
You're good. I just hope you didn't have a scotch or two before you went in.
And if you don't make it here, I know of a clown college that will take you. You will... Listen, it's a community college, so you already have a leg up on the situation.
And I'm pumped. Ken Hommel's here.
Ken Hommel's enjoying our show,
Ken's
as always.
Ken's the best. We opened with some Bob Dylan, Don't Think Twice, It's All Right.
Right.
I think everyone knows somebody that song could be about.
Yeah.
You could interpret that song many different ways, and it's just a great song. Dave Coulier is our guest today. His web series is Can't Get Arrested. He's just one of the nicest, funniest people I've met.
Right.
He really is.
Right.
Like I don't know. I'm really happy to have Dave on. Mike Binder should be joining us too at some point. I don't know. Mike's missing all the time. You can see Dave's series at www.can'tgetarrestedshow.com. If you like Richard Belding, Dennis Haskins, he's in it. Jody Sweetin from Full House.
Cool.
Is also in it. I know Cato Kaelin is in one of them.
Cato!
You know,
I knew we would see him again at some point.
Cato
were not his 15 minutes in 1994. Those were not his 15 minutes.
Cato wanted to do the show, but like I didn't know what we would talk about. Why is my mother calling in already?
I don't mind it. And you're going to take it. You're going to take it like you always do.
Hello, Ma.
Hi, I'm calling in already because I'm not going to be able to hear the whole show.
Okay.
And I just wanted to call and say hi and to tell you I love the new picture because I hated the old one.
Picture? What new picture? I don't know what you're talking
about. On the web. The Matthew Aaron Show, the new logo with you standing above Coney Dog.
Oh, Caesar made that. Our producer,
Caesar. Oh, yeah. Caesar, great job.
Yeah,
and stop kicking on poor Lenny.
Poor Lenny.
Poor Lenny.
I've never heard this in my life.
Poor Lenny.
Well, you were just picking on him about, you know, going for his testings and his tests and stuff.
No, it's his finals. We're wishing him luck. What were we
picking? All right.
Listen, Ma, he's going to pass, and he's going to gain the power to sue us all. So I'm not going to.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to hire him first so I can sue you guys because if Why I ever hear any of this, you know.
Yeah.
Did you ever diss me on line or anything here?
Would you say, would diss you? Did you say diss?
Diss.
Yeah, diss.
I love that.
Don't diss my online.
Diss mom, diss lady.
No, don't diss me on your show.
Okay, well, we're going to try not to. You know who our guest is today, Ma?
I know. It's Uncle Joey. It's Dave.
Oh,
you... I like Dave.
Why do people... You know that's somewhat insulting when people
right.
say that. It's Vic Bonprezzi just IM'd me and said, Lenny, BS, Lenny is at Richard's right now having a drink. He ain't studying.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's true. I'm sure
all right, well, I will let you guys go. I just wanted to call early and say hi. Seems to be the only time I can get to talk to you for longer than 30 seconds when you don't have attitude. And I'm going out tonight for Christmas. So.
Oh, where are you going?
Oh, nothing exciting, just another round.
Oh, with the old broads?
They're not old.
What do you mean they're not old?
Can't you just say goodbye like a normal guy?
Yeah, I love you, Ma.
Yeah.
Love you too, dear. They're not old. I'm going out with the pool ladies.
All right, Ma. Love you.
They're not
love
old.
You too. Goodbye, dear.
Bye, Mama. All right.
Bye, I love you, and they're not old.
What, do you want to talk or something, Kristen? Yeah, you can say hi. Oh, you got to talk right. into the microphone if you're...
So tell us about your experience on television.
Yeah, Kristen, Kristen, who works at Coney Dog here, just gorgeous, gorgeous Kristen. You'll know her because she'll be the woman turning every guy down that walks in the place.
Yeah.
Say hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? Are you good? That's it? That's all you wanted? You just wanted to say hello?
I actually just wanted to come over here and see what it felt like to have your face up against this screen microphone thing, because it looks really...
Do you want to stick around when I talk about how a...
it feels like you're kissing someone wearing stockings.
I feel bad because Tommy's here, and I don't want to talk about this story around Tommy.
Yeah.
But I had a story.
I don't think I want to talk about it either.
Let's see if I can talk about this in not a R-rated way. A boy dies after doing something to himself 42 times in a row. A 16-year-old boy died after doing something to himself 42 times without stopping in Brazil. His mother told a local newspaper that she already knew about his son's addiction and that she planned to see the doctor, but the decision came too late. The young man began to do things to himself at midnight and spent the whole night trying to compulsively do things to himself. At school, his classmates commented on the boy's problem, and some said he asked them to connect to the webcam so they can observe him. They further said that his attraction to women was extreme. He was attracted to all kinds of women, regardless of texture, physics, color, and age.
Yeah.
In his room, a great amount of pornography was found, including photographs and videos of naked ladies that were saved on his PC.
Now, of ladies of the evening in various stages of undress.
Now, I'm not trying to make light of a 16-year-old that died. That's terrible.
That is terrible.
But he did die happy.
There's worse ways to go.
Yeah, there's much worse ways.
Exactly. And, you know,
I can't do it 42 times
in a year. That means your grandmother was right in a way. It will make you go blind.
It'll make you
blind.
In
the worst way.
I can't do it 42 times in a year, let alone 42 times in a row. We have a one-room apartment.
I said I was going to eat those two, but maybe it's just going to...
Oh, Kristen's taking away your hot wings?
Oh, yeah.
Your last two?
Can I get those two to go? Can I just try those up? Take them to go with me?
You could take them. I just take them.
That's okay. Take them.
He just had a cleanse.
I know.
I don't want to make light of this, but yeah, you're right. You're right. Grandma may have been right about certain things.
Yeah.
I hope the kid didn't die with really hairy palms and he was blind. I can't do it 42 times in a year, though. We live in a one bedroom.
I can't.
Oh, I don't know. I don't want to know how you do. There's just some things I'd rather not know.
I'll take time to make time.
Look, I have two really creepy roommates for our listeners out there. I'm totally respectful and, like, not going near myself.
Okay. That's weird.
Is it weird?
When you're gonna explode, man. You're gonna pass out.
I don't think so. I'm in a really good place.
Okay. All right.
I'm in a really good place, huh?
All right.
So what else is going on? Anything else happening that I should know about?
Yeah, I'll tell you about this. I went to get my driver's license
just
this afternoon.
Yes.
And I opened up my car door earlier, My car's
this was yesterday, right, when you opened the car?
Yeah, my car is infested with ants. And I didn't think that could happen. I got a lot of bags of, like, fast food on the ground for the car because I eat on the go. And, you know, there's no time to clean shit. So there's, like, these guys are helping themselves to Carl's Jr., Jack in the Box, In-N-Out Burger. And it's because I saw one crawling across the dashboard. So they're on the passenger side, and I open up, and along the door, there's hundreds of ants there. And I swatted as many away as I could with a towel. But they're living in my car.
Any of them, like, stick to the towel?
I'm driving them around. Oh, okay.
I'm just wondering.
That's cute.
You got to find ways, I thought.
No,
so
but
continue.
They would stick to your shirt. I'm driving them around town with me. They're like my passengers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just, I was like, they're going to tell me what to do. Or they're like, no, we can't go to the sugar mill again. But I go to the DMV and... I drive the ants to the DMV, and I go to get my my license and my car registered, and I'm standing in line. It's like a classic Space Mountain serpentine, and there's this woman in line, and she's, let's call her plus size. I think that's the term.
Plus size is okay. I think plus size is acceptable.
And she's very loud, and she's being very loudly loud. Like, she doesn't just talk loud. She's being...
loud to be loud.
Yeah. She's making flamboyant gestures, and she's yucking it up with somebody that, like, would rather not be talking to her, and she's like, just, you know, you can't, but lots of people are lots of different things, and you don't know what's going to happen. You know, Sammy Davis, he was black, but he was Jewish. May God rest his soul in peace. She's doing that whole, like she's like a in the Bronx in 1960, you know. So, And she's complaining about the line as if she expected a line at a government building to be any other way.
Right.
And she yells out, she goes, let's try and keep this line moving here, you know.
Does she sound like a gangster from the 30s?
She's very,
let's keep this line moving.
No, she's very crass and all that. And I'm standing at the opposite corner of the line, and I'm already pissed off because the line's not moving. There's a guy standing behind me. His nose is running, like, down to his chin. And I yell out, like, medium loud. I go, I'm loud and fat, and that's my personality. And that maybe wasn't nice, but a bunch of people are giggling standing near me. A guy actually high-fives me. And he's, like, old. He's, like, in his late 50s. High-fives me. Then something happens where I guess I must have called attention to myself in a way that people are asking me. I've got a form in my hand for the license renewal, and someone goes, hey, did you get that on the wall? And I go, no, it was right over there because I saw it when I came in, because I'm observant.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to fill the thing out in line. I go, okay, could you watch my space? And four people get out of line and get this form, and I have pens in my pocket. Say, can I borrow one of your pens? I'm lending everyone in line a pen. I'm now boss of this line by default of awareness. I am now in charge of the line. I'm the patriarch of the line by not having my head up my ass.
Yeah.
So I didn't even get what I wanted. So
now that we talked about the ants, once again, we're a Coney Dog on 8873 right. West Sunset Boulevard.
The cleanest fast food restaurant you have ever been to.
That's what Alan Spencer said.
No
the
joke.
The cleanest place ever. And it's, you know, I don't know about, is it fast food? It's more of a diner experience, but like not an old style diner, like. Like,
well,
it's got that feel, though.
Here, you'll get seated for a table.
This place is a joint.
And they'll bring you the food, and it comes on a ceramic plate with metal silverware. So it's like a diner, kind of. And they do a few things only. But
yeah, I'm worried about how much
well.
Tommy likes his burger right now. I'm like, he loves it, right?
He loves it. Oh, well. Is he picky?
Is Tommy picky?
Ken's nodding his head. Yeah, he's
picky.
All right.
So what do you think of this? The final Friday movie will be starring Ice Cube, Chris Tucker, Mike Epps, and Cat Williams, according to Mike Epps on a radio show in South Carolina.
They should tie up all of these terrible movies, like when they get to be like a lot of really bad sort of... I feel like they should do like a... Like with Final Destination, they should tie it in. It should be Friday's Final Destination. Yeah.
Well, you know, with the way the market is right now and the way the recession is right now, it's easier to get all these big names to be in a movie together because they cost less.
Right.
That's why Fast Five happened, because Vin Diesel's quote wasn't as usual. 500 mil, and Paul Walker wasn't making any hits, and you can get The Rock, and he makes a modest fee, but not 20 mil a pick. You can get, like, huge people to be in, you know, a big Ocean's 11-type extravaganza it's getting cheaper.
Too many sequels, man.
I agree.
I like a lot of people, but...
So, Kim Jong-il, dead.
Yeah. I kind of...
North Koreans are weeping hysterically over it, according to video that I've seen. And
well, you know what? Listen, you're likely to be that emotionally severe when you're chained to a sewing machine.
Well, they said he was a respected general and a great successor.
Well, I'm sure that was printed by their free independent media.
I don't know, but why is everyone out there crying? You think they told them all go out there and cry? Or
I don't know.
Weeping hysterically.
I think those people are terrified of the establishment there, and they're going to have a lot of problems now.
You know what I'm wondering, though? I'm wondering if we think they're as terrified as they are, and if they're, like, when you live somewhere for so long and you're just used to something, you may be afraid of a drastic change. And I don't know, I'm not saying they got used to Kim Jong-il, but maybe they just got used to the way it was.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Isn't that crazy, though?
Yeah, it's crazy, but it's possible, right?
I don't know.
Like, they don't think about themselves the way we think about them.
They don't. But, again, they have to work, like, from the age of 7 in horrible conditions.
Yeah, and Pat Tobias wants to know, Ice Cube's lost all gangster street cred when he did the two Are We There Yet movies.
Well, yeah. You know what? Gangster street cred will only get you so far. Because, again, it's cred for the streets.
Yeah, yeah. And I really don't have any jokes or anything about it, but Pat sent it to me. Chaz Bono's engagement is broken.
Oh.
That's a shame.
I don't have any jokes.
You know what?
I like Chaz.
But you know, yeah, me too. You know what makes me wonder, though? And not just about her, but in these situations, period. Like, you give up and sacrifice a great deal to be happier and for another person as well. And when that person ends up leaving you, what does that do to you, man? That's got to destroy you.
Yeah.
I mean, when you sacrifice so much...
I'm still trying to think of a joke about Lil' Kim.
No, yeah, there's nothing funny about anything we're talking about. I wish there was. But, I don't know. I feel bad because people are very...
You know what they should do? A couple in North Korea.
Yeah.
A few years ago, I read a news story that Clapton went over there and gave a huge concert, and it was a huge national event.
Okay.
It was a big deal for him to go there, and it was a huge success. Maybe Clapton should just run North Korea.
Yeah, why are they all cool in the game with Clapton?
I don't know.
I don't know. Oh, they love that cocaine song. That's what it is.
Right.
One in two Americans, by the way, are now poor or low income.
Yep.
And I think we're in that group.
Hey, Mike. Matt.
Yeah.
Way to bring the show way down.
Okay. Oh, yeah, the funny. I forgot the funny. Yeah. The funny.
Everything just got a lot worse.
By the way, the Dark Knight Rises trailer's out as of today. And I watched it. And it's a 2-minute one, not the prologue. And it didn't exactly rock my world, but neither did the Dark the Dark Knight. The trailer didn't rock my world.
No, but trailers are.
And the movie blew me away. So.
You want to put?
Dave
on?
Are we ready for
Dave's make it,
for our very special guest, Dave Coulier?
You know what? We were yammering, Dave. I'm sorry.
Oh,
we were going on.
We were
on.
Depressing, Dave, with our Kim Jong Il yap, and my mom called in, and oh, that's just, it's never good.
I mean,
it's good to hear from mom. Mr. Coulier, how are you doing?
I'm good. Look, you guys are rocking out here.
I know.
At Coney Dog LA. You got Bob Seger going.
Yeah.
It's a Detroit mood. I got my Red Wings.
Yeah, you're ready to go.
Shirt on. The Wings are playing Edmonton tonight. So.
Yeah, see? Yeah. He's a legit Red Wings fan. Or he looked up the schedule this morning.
Right. Or he did his research.
Well, you know what? Should I tell Dave Coulier what I call him on the streets?
What's that?
Davey Cools. How many people call you Davey Cool?
Well, my nickname is Cooler.
Okay.
So, Davey Cools, I like it.
All right. I'm going with Davey Cool.
It would look good on a sign in Vegas. Tonight, Davey Cools.
Yeah.
And the Rat Pack.
I love it.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about you and hockey, though, and someone sent in a question, And I want to talk to you about a million things, but I just want to get this question out of the way since we brought up hockey. There was an episode of the famous show you were on, Full House, where you played a hockey game, and you broke a stick. And someone asked me if you broke the stick on the first take. I don't know why that's such an important question, but Gordo sent in a question asking if Dave broke the stick on a first take.
I don't think I'm strong enough, first of all, to do that. So I'm pretty sure our prop guys maybe took a little cut on the shaft, and it probably broke really easily.
Plus, he can't hurt the star.
That's true.
You know.
Plus, I love it true. Makes a lot of sense that question was asked by someone called Gordo.
We've had Gordon on the show. I think he's called in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's called in.
Oh, well,
He's a good guy. I think it's the same Gordon. I want to talk about Dave, but I want to start where you started, Dave. Where, how did you get involved with comedy? Everything that you're doing now is great, but when you started out, what was it like?
I was young. I was 18 years old. I met Mike Binder, who's the proprietor here of Coney Dog LA. I met Mike when I was 18. I opened for Mike at the Comedy Castle in Detroit, but I had been doing comedy in high school with a friend of mine named Mark Sandrowski, who coincidentally enough now directs The Big Bang Theory, the television series. So Mark and I, we had been making little 8mm movies and doing silly stuff since fifth grade. So when I finally started as a stand-up in Detroit, opened for Mike, and he was the first guy who was already here in Los Angeles and had been on television who said, hey, he sat me down and said, hey, you got to move out to Los Angeles.
Wow.
And I did, and then he and I became roommates for, I think, 4 years.
Oh, I didn't know you and Mike were roommates.
Yeah.
You didn't tell me that part.
Oh, it was Oscar and Felix. Yeah, he was a slob.
Yeah.
He was a big slob.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mike, I told you, it's not spaghetti, it's linguine.
Yes.
Wow, you guys were roommates for 4 years. Now this opened up a door of a million other questions. What is it like to room with Mike Binder other than he's a mess?
Well, he was a mess, and
he was always leaving his dirty scripts in the sink.
Yeah. Well, he used to write, and since he's no longer a pothead, I can say my room was up in the loft, and he used to be downstairs writing, smoking pot. And the pot would rise up into my room, and all of a sudden I'd get out of a dead sleep and go, do we have any chips? So, but he was great. You know, we always, we were Oscar and Felix, and then I also got Mike into running. He used to always ask me, where do you go when you run? And I said, I run around UCLA twice, which is 8 miles.
Wow.
And so he said, I'm going to come with you. So he gets this old crappy pair of tennis shoes one day, and he says, all right, let's go. And I said, I stretch a little bit before I do this. He got about 50 feet and started wheezing and hacking so bad. I said, are you okay? He goes, I don't think I'm going to make it today. And I make fun of him now, but he eventually ran with me twice around UCLA. He stuck with it, and we went on.
He told me he worked out 90 minutes yesterday, and I thought he was joking.
No,
masturbating or something, but no.
Well,
42 times.
It's a workout for him if you've ever seen him do that. It's sweaty and just lots of wrist curls. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
So so we know Mike can't make it around UCLA, but I'm kind of impressed Dave was running 8 miles today.
Well, I like that he got you into running. Like, when people get people into other things, it's usually like drugs.
Yeah.
But, he got you into running. He got you into something that's, great.
Yeah.
For you and for life.
Yeah, it's nice.
No one ever gets me.
Classic.
Into,
saved his life.
Oh,
saved,
no one
totally
gets,
saved his life.
No one gets you. You've never invited me out to run, pal.
Yeah.
Every time I come home, you're napping for 30 minutes, and then you wake up, talk to yourself, and walk out of the room.
So you guys are roommates?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh,
you could do this at your place.
We could.
We could.
If you could fit in.
But
I don't know where we have room, but
is it an inflatable house or something?
Yeah.
It's one of those bouncy
castles. It's a bouncy house.
Okay, nice.
I love the Tommy Hamill taking
pictures,
by the way.
We have mice that are hunched over.
I got a 7-year-old doing my dirty work.
That's nice, though.
Isn't that great?
Production
still. He's a great kid. Tommy, how was the burger?
He works for Peanuts.
Burger? Good. Okay, good. He says good.
Thumbs up, yeah.
It's a great burger.
Yeah.
So then you got you came out here and you were doing stand-up with Mike. Now, how did you get into places like the Comedy Store? And what else was around back then? Yuck Yuck still around?
Comedy
or what?
Store, improv. There used to be a place called the Comedy Cave at a place called Osco's. And I walked in and the first comic I saw was Paul Rodriguez on stage.
Wow.
And I had just come out here. I auditioned at the Comedy Store that first week.
No.
And then became a regular.
Wow.
And then became a doorman at the Westwood Comedy Store. And I think I had just turned 19.
Yeah.
And it was great. I mean, we had such an incredible group. I mean, my group was Mike Binder, Gary Shandling, Bob Saget, Dennis Miller, Jim Carrey, Howie Mandel, Paul Reiser, Seinfeld, Louis Anderson.
The early 90s class.
Leno, yeah. That was
late
actually
80s.
Late 80s.
Yeah. That was early 80s, actually.
Early 80s.
Yeah. Early 80s.
Coming
yeah.
up, yeah.
Yeah,
that was the heyday of comedy, too. I mean, that was when a lot of great talent came out.
And you had to be good, you know, if you followed Seinfeld, you really had to, like,
well, and that's
know
what I was
going to
ask.
Be great.
You had to be really good to try out and just become a regular like that. Like, how did you get to being that good? Was it a lot of work, a lot of practice for you? Was it everything you did back home?
Yeah, I did a lot of work in Detroit, and I kind of became a big fish in a small pond back
yeah.
there. So I got lots of stage time and lots of little clubs. And then out here, it was a totally different scene.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was a small fish in a huge pond. And it was either, you know, sink or swim.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And I do want to plug real quickly your website, DaveCoulier.tv. Is that right?
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. yeah. And then also Can't Get Arrested, which I want to talk about. Can'tGetArrestedShow.com.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
Yeah. So I want to get into that, but I love this stand up talk. So this is kind of what happened to Lee and I. We just kind of felt like you hit like in Detroit and in Chicago and we're from Chicago. There's this smaller glass ceiling. Like it's like you hit it a lot sooner than you would out here. So
yeah.
then we decided to move out here. We did the same thing. And so what was it like once you came out here? When did you know that you were doing well?
Well, I did cartoon voices. So
Ghostbusters, right? Extreme Ghostbusters,
yeah,
I think you did. And
yeah, I did Real Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I did the Muppet Babies for 8 seasons. I did a lot of voice work, so I submitted a tape to a voiceover tape
yeah.
to Hanna-Barbera on a Friday, and on Monday, it sounds like I'm
wow.
making this up. I got a call, and they said, "Can you work on Scooby-Doo?"
Wow!
And so that was the first like showbiz Hollywood job that I got out here was doing voices on Scooby,
that's
and
great.
So I always had that going on the side, and then I did a lot of obscure voice things. I looped Richard Pryor, his voice. I would take out all the swear words for, you know, when movies go into syndication.
Yeah.
And
had Dave Coulier doing the voice of Richard Pryor.
Yeah, that's some weird stuff, Jack, because, you know, you got to, like, get into a different head. And that's some weird stuff there, Jack.
That's great. That's good. Wow. But who would have ever guessed you're watching USA and see no evil, hear no evil, there,
yeah.
hear no evil, see no evil, then,
right.
and it's Dave.
Right. and you hear Richard saying stuff like, oh, shucks, mother, father.
Yeah, right.
You know.
So you're the mother, father
I'm
guy.
The mother,
yeah.
father
you're the
guy.
Aw, shucks. Yeah.
yeah. But I became a copycat and... for the Mork and Mindy cartoon, I did Robin Williams'
wow.
voice while he was off making, he was doing a movie, Popeye, actually,
yeah.
over in Malta.
With Robert Altman, yeah.
And so I did all the voice tracks, so the animators could animate to the voice tracks. Oh, and they paid me a lot less money. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, of course, oh, yes.
Wow.
Oh, yes, Mr. Happy.
If you can do those three voices, that if you could do the gay Elmer Fudd, the Southern Baptist, and the other one. Yeah,
what's the other one?
I'm Rick Perrying now.
You're Rick Perrying.
No, it's yeah.
it's not education.
Right. It's
so gay Elmer Fudd would be. Oh, I'll find that sexy wife.
Yeah, right. There you go. Yeah. Boo and Magic
That's
Helmet.
Great. So you're doing all these cartoons. You're doing all these
yeah.
voices. And then were you getting like actual like real life acting gigs before Full House?
I did. I
doing some guest spots or what
did,
have you?
Yeah, Family Ties. I
oh,
did
yeah.
a little thing on Family Ties. I did a little thing on Newhart. I did a Cheech and Chong movie called Things Are Tough All Over.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was doing stand up the entire time and voiceovers and cartoons and things. And then, you know, things started to pick up. I got my own series on Nickelodeon called Out of Control in 1984. And then I did the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson that same year.
Wow.
And that was all when I was 24 years old.
So did you grow up watching Johnny, though? We've had this conversation with numerous people who have been on Johnny. And do you watched Johnny growing up, and so how big of a deal was it when you hit Carson?
It was a really big deal because there wasn't Letterman, Leno, Fallon, Kimmel. There wasn't all these other shows. That was the show where if you were a comedian, you knew everybody not only in your life, all your friends, your family, and your business associates were going to be watching, but you knew everybody in the comedy business and show business was going to be there trying to cherry pick the next talented young comedian.
Yeah.
So it was wonderful, so exciting, and frightening as hell at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. So you taped Carson, right? It wasn't live. You tape it, but you couldn't screw up. You couldn't screw up your act. They wouldn't retape it, I'm guessing. No.
No. You got
so
one
you
shot.
You got to kill it.
You got one shot. I got the okay sign from Johnny, and that's you look
great.
For, you know.
Yeah.
That's what everybody wanted. And I remember going to the bank the next day, and nobody recognized me, and I thought, oh, crap.
It didn't work.
None of these people watched The Tonight Show last night.
Well, they have to go to sleep so they can work at the bank in the morning. So I was gonna ask you, who are you still consider yourself close with from your stand-up days in the 80s?
Mike Binder, certainly.
Yeah.
Bob Saget.
Yeah.
They're like my brothers, though. You know, I stood up in Bob's wedding. Same deal for Mike. You know, we've been friends since those days. I was 18 years old, and Saget and I were friends way before we ever did Full House together.
Right.
So, you know, so I'm really, really close to those guys. And I just did Dennis Miller's show a couple weeks ago, and Dennis, I talked him into coming out here to L.A., got him his first gig at the Comedy Magic Club, and he actually slept on my couch for a couple of weeks. So,
wow.
I mean, it was, you know, so there's that early school of guys that you hang out with that you just kind of have, you become kindred spirits with, you know?
Yeah, and then, so you end up getting Full House. Were you like, you auditioned and Bob auditioned? Who was already attached to the show by that time? Was Bob already the lead of the show, or?
Stamos. Bob was in New York doing the CBS Morning program. Years before, I had gone in and pitched a pilot to Bob Boyette at Paramount Studios called McKinley Field. And he loved this pilot, optioned the pilot. So when I went in to read for Bob Boyette, Tom Miller, and Jeff Franklin and the casting people, I read, and then Bob Boyette said, hey, if you don't do this show, maybe we'll do that show about the little airport in the Midwest. And I said, you remember that? He goes, oh, yeah, you were like this 20-year-old kid who came in with this great idea, and I never forgot that. And so I said, yes, you did, because you never called me back and produced it. But it was Stamos, and then I auditioned, and then we shot the entire pilot with a different father.
Oh, okay.
And then Bob got actually fired from the CBS Morning program in New York, became available, and Jeff Franklin, the show creator, said, I want Bob. And John Stamos and I screen tested with Bob. ABC loved what they saw. They let the other actor go, and we had to go in and plug Bob into all the scenes where the other previous father had been.
Wow. Wow. I think I remember that story from when you guys did True Hollywood Story. I watched it. And the actor that got replaced is actually kind of he's a famous guy too, isn't he?
His name was John Posey.
Yeah, he did a lot of work before Full House, though, right?
Yeah, he had done a lot of commercials and stuff, and so, hey, but that stuff happens.
It just happens.
It happens on more shows than you think that have become these iconic shows where,
but
I think on, like, Perfect Strangers, I think they wanted Louis Anderson to play the Belky character.
Oh,
you look back now, and you're like,
that would be awful.
Yeah. What, cousin? I don't get it.
Were you guys, like, the chemistry just clicked right away because you and Bob were tight, and John and you guys all just clicked right away?
Yeah, and so much of any successful show is just that chemistry that's an intangible, and you don't really know you have it until everybody's already cast. So, you know, we were really lucky, and you know, if you read a Full House script, it's really not that vibrant on the page,
sure.
But then you give it to the actors and suddenly it comes to life and, you know, those characters make it come alive.
Well, I think people need to know, especially as a comedian, it's a lot harder to be extremely clean and family friendly and also be really, really funny. And you guys had a good way of being that way, you know, being really, really funny with these G-rated scripts. And I think that's a testament to you guys' talent.
Well, and we were given a chance. We were given a chance to be bad.
Yeah.
Because, let's face it, a lot of us on the show had never done a sitcom before, so we really had to learn what that whole process was like. And so they allowed us to feel our way through it and become good. And the producers couldn't have been more generous with me. It got to the second season where we'd be reading a script, and in the script it would say, "Dave will come up with something funny here."
Yeah,
and so they gave me this tremendous freedom. You know, it was like comedy college for me.
Yeah, you know, I think the show's great because I know a lot of comedians that actually watch. So someone sent me in a message, Patrick Bagden. He's a comedian back in Chicago, and he said he said that. Why do all the kids look like Uncle Joey? You know,
yeah, I know, that's funny. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love...
Three straight guys living together in San Francisco.
Right.
Wink, wink. Yeah,
right.
Sure.
Well, that's why you guys brought in Lori Loughlin.
Absolutely.
Hot it up a little
bit. She was
bit.
The beard.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The beard.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
Oh, she was. I had the biggest crush on Lori Loughlin growing up watching that show.
And she is so.
She
is so funny and just loves to laugh and hang out with the boys and she's a real close friend of mine.
Wow, that's great. Lee, do you got questions about the stand up and the Full House stuff? Anything?
You know that chemistry you were mentioning? We could use a little of that.
Oh yeah, no chemistry for you.
Yeah, no.
We have no Full House questions.
Just the transition from doing stand up and then when you get to be on a sitcom and you're used to doing something a certain way, do you feel hampered by being on a sitcom, or are there not constraints at all? It sounds like you felt an enormous amount of freedom.
No,
stand up, you can do anything.
Yeah, well, it's different when somebody hands you a script and says, I know you're a really funny guy on stage, now make my words really funny.
Right.
And so you have to basically be a comedic translator of sorts, and you have to stick to the story. You're telling a story, and there's other actors involved. So there still was a freedom, but you're still making someone else's story come to life.
Right.
Yeah, and I wanted to know, the thing that's really big for me is you were doing America's Funniest People and Full House all at the same time.
Yeah.
You had to be working 7 days a week, six days a week. How do you get through that? What was that time in your life like?
I was, and the behind-the-scenes stuff that a lot of people didn't know I was doing as well was I was doing Muppet Babies and the Real Ghostbusters cartoon concurrently with those two shows. I would finish Full House on Friday night. We would tape the show in front of an audience, and then I would get on a red eye and fly to Florida and start America's Funniest People the next morning. And then I would fly home Sunday night after the tapings, and then back to work on Full House on Monday. So it was a grind, but you know what? When you start in this business, you pray for that kind of success.
Yeah, yeah.
So I never complained. I always just, told everybody, I appreciate this so much, you don't even know. And I did. And
did like you or, I mean, I don't want you to speak for Bob, but did you or, Saget was doing the same thing with America's Funniest Home Video. Were you guys ever burnt out? Was it hard to be funny?
Yeah, I completely burned out after Full House, America's Funniest People, The Real Ghostbusters, and The Muppet Babies all stopped.
Yeah.
All got canceled, I should say, within 2 months of each other.
Jeez.
Wow.
So from going from 9 years of just this incredible work pace to, wow, I'm going to actually have time off. What am I going to do?
Huh.
So it just gave me the luxury of thinking about what's next. And I really hadn't even had time to think what's next after this. And so I took a lot of time off. I had a new son who was only a couple years old. So I took time off, and I hung out with my kids, you know, and just thought, wow, this is a real luxury to just sit back and be a dad and hang with my son. So I probably pissed off my agents and managers more than I even know by turning stuff down and saying, no, I'm really kind of just chilling out. And then I completely burned out right after that with stand-up as well. I took about an eight-year break from stand-up, and I just I was actually on stage at it was called the Pine Knob Music Theater, and Dennis Miller and I were co-headlining. And I'm looking out at this sea of people of about 8,000 people. I actually went into autopilot where I'm just telling my jokes, but I'm having this internal conversation with myself while I'm doing stand-up for 8,000 people. And I caught myself and I said, you know what, it's time to stop.
Wow.
And so I walked off and that was it. I said, I'm done with stand-up. And I thought honestly I was never going to do stand-up again. And I went to the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa Beach out here. And I just watched some stand-ups one night, and I thought, these guys are so great. What am I thinking not wanting to be up there? And I just fell in love with stand-up again.
I think that's awesome, too, that he goes there and he goes, these guys are so great. Instead of what I think sometimes all comedians do, which is they go somewhere and they go, these guys are shit. And why am I not up there? I think it's great that you think that way. I think that's a positive attitude.
It's such a difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it so much when somebody's really good at it. And I give a lot of people a lot of credit for just getting up there getting up there and plying their craft. And it's really easy to be cynical and take shots at somebody who's on stage. But you know what? We're all a work in progress.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's varying degrees of stand-up. You know, it's you throw the old out and start with the new. And that's a whole artistic creative process that you have to go through. And if you see a guy or a woman on stage some night, maybe they're going through that process of, I'm dumping all the A material, now I got to start fresh. And so it's really easy to be critical, but man, I sure appreciate art form.
I know you got some dates coming up. I mean, you're back in the swing of things. Is this like a new act? Did you write a whole new bit?
I'm in the process of getting up every day and writing. And stand-up has always kind of been my bastard stepchild.
Yeah.
That it would always lead me to something else, or I could kind of coast for a while and just kind of keep my comedic muscles working out. And so I really haven't been serious about writing and having a very defined point of view on stage for a long, long time. And now that's the challenge. It's getting up there and really kind of mining the comedic gold that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I know you also did something I'm curious about. You took on Bob and Doug. After, you know, Rick Moranis is, I guess, retired or whatever he's doing nowadays. He's not working.
Yeah.
He's choosing not to work. Yeah,
what is Dave Thomas doing these days?
Well,
Dave's a good friend.
Yeah, Dave's still working.
Dave is a good friend. He's one of the most brilliant people I know.
He's terrific.
He's funny.
He has a mind that's like a steel trap. I said to Dave one time, he actually produced America's Funniest People for the first season, and that's when we bonded and became friends, and we produced a special for ABC together. And one day he came up to me and said, hey, you're an airplane pilot. And I said, yeah, I am. He goes, what do you fly? And I said, oh, I fly a Bonanza. And he spouted off a couple of facts about the Bonanza, and then he said, and then we started talking about military aircraft, and he said, you know, there's 71 different variants of the F-4 Phantom.
Yeah.
And I said, what? Where are you getting this from? He goes, I remember everything, Davey.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, for people that don't know, Bob and Doug were two characters on SCTV, Second City Television. Yeah, and Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas played them, and they were just these couple of Canadian guys drink beer. And
it's all about beer, eh?
That's right.
Yeah, like the whole time. Like, I've been like sitting here with you guys thinking, okay, like, when did we get a beer?
What's the name of Strange Brew? Strange Brew, right?
Yeah. It's an like adaptation of King Lear, supposedly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shakespeare's King Lear.
So what was it like, though, to take over that role? Were people nervous about it? I mean, I'm sure as an actor, you got to do a different take on it than Rick Moranis. So
those were really big shoes to fill, and and Dave said, "Hey, look, you do a dead-on impression of Rick. Just come and do this, and you'll be with me sitting in the studio, and we'll have fun." And it was a blast. And the actors in Canada, we would patch them in on a phone line, and they were so great. They were so funny, just brilliant comedic voiceover actors. And the show was really well written.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just one of those. It's one of those franchises, though, that no one here in the U.S. knows about.
Right, it's a big Canadian show. Right. Yeah. You get to say hoser a lot, though, so that must be good.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, like, well, actually, like, if you say it too much, though, then you drink more beer. That's okay, eh? Okay.
It's all right.
So, you know, that's funny, Dave. First, let's talk about Can't Get Arrested. I want to talk about this first.
Sure.
Okay. So you have this web series. You did 5 episodes. You told me you shot it all within, like, 2 weeks.
Wrote it.
Yeah.
Produced it.
Oh, everything.
And got it out on the web in 2 weeks.
So what's that like? How did that process come up? It's a funny web series, can'tgetarrestedshow.com. I tell my friends, look, you know, Dave's funny. This is a funny show. Mike turned me on to it, Mike Binder. And I saw, as soon as I saw Dennis Haskins on this thing, I'm like, all right, I'm sold. And I told everyone back home, and everyone's given it a look that I've talked to. And it's like, I think this was a really funny concept. So what was it like for you? What was the idea?
I wanted to do something that kind of could take shots at the paparazzi.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of a tool that I wanted to use. I also wanted to use, I had met Dennis Haskins and Kato Kaelin at Jeff Franklin's parties. And Jeff Franklin created Full House.
Right.
And he has these gigantic Hollywood parties. And I met those guys and I said, you know, these guys are really funny on their own, aside from what people identify them with. Kato with the O.J. Simpson trial. Dennis with being Mr. Belding on Saved by the Bell. And I thought, if I ever do something, I kind of stored both of them in the back of my head. And then I had this idea about, you know, you hear like John Travolta couldn't get arrested, you know.
Right.
And then he did what
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. And then suddenly, you know, his career was revived. And I thought that's such an interesting concept, having been through that whole arc myself. And so I wanted to play with that a little bit, have Dennis and Kato. And I also wanted the paparazzi to be this kind of, you know, thing I could joust with. And so I called Jody Sweet, and I had the idea. I pitched it to her. Meanwhile, I met this producer named Jordan Rosansky through another guy that is an editor. And he said, I want you two to, you know, meet up because I think there's some, you know, some good energy here. I pitched him the idea. He said, I love it. I'm in. Let's go. Let's start writing it. So we started spitballing, and we wrote 5 episodes in a matter of 2 weeks, started shooting, and just put it on the Internet. And
Film.com is named Can't Get Arrested, one of the best web series of the year.
Yeah. And
that's great.
You know, and I'm surprised because I thought, you know, we could have done so much better. Mm. There are so many things that, in hindsight now, but that's any project. And, you know, when you think of it, we only generated 25 minutes of
right, each one's
stuff.
Like 5 minutes. Yeah.
And so I thought, wow, that's like one pilot.
Yeah.
You know, and you really, you know, and so you're working the kinks out. And we had complete episodes where we were storytelling. So, I look back and I think, well, under the time conditions that we really gave ourselves and the amount of effort and you know, this setting this goal and telling the press, okay, we're going to air this day.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really proud of it, and there's some really funny performances in it, and
you even
know,
got Candace Cameron to come back for
we
one.
We did.
Right?
We got a little. We had a little mini Full House reunion.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah,
it's good
it was
stuff.
Cool. It was fun.
Like, you know, you do this great show, and then you're also writing, and then you're doing stand-up, and you're balancing all that. How do you know what your priorities are?
I don't.
Okay.
I really don't. You know, I fly by the seat of my pants every day. And you have to. I've been doing this for 33 years now. And you really have to be able to just be malleable and be able to switch, you know, directions on a dime. And because you don't know what's coming next. You know, I could get a call for, you know, a cartoon series, or I could, you know, suddenly go in on this show tomorrow and it becomes a series. And
yeah.
And so you have to be able to really kind of, you know, improv your way
go
through all
flow.
Of this. Absolutely.
Right. You have
yeah.
band.
Well, that, I mean, that happened a couple days ago. I was going out to do stand up just to do an open mic. And
oh,
just,
yeah.
just, and I hadn't in a while since I got here and all that. And you went with, and we, not only, you know, was it fun, but we had a really good time.
It was a bad day up to that point,
it was too, a bad day
up to that.
We had a great time. And, like, I thought to myself, I need to not stop doing this,
yeah.
totally.
He always, Mike Binder tells me, we always have to be doing something.
Doing
yeah.
Do something.
Yeah, you do. It's what drives all of us, I think, creatively. And, you know, say whatever you want about stand-ups, but you're an artist, basically. And,
yeah.
and you're painting on that stage every night. You're painting a different picture, and you tweak it a little bit, and you work a little on the background, and you work a little on the portrait, and you work a little bit on this tree over here. And it's, you know, and it's jazz, it's painting, it's self-expression. It's a lot of things wrapped up into one, but I think you just have to have that open mind where you say, you know what, I'm going to do this, and sometimes it's not going to be a great painting.
Yeah.
So what about TMZ? Have they been bothering you at all ever since you started doing Can't Get Arrested? Because you obviously do some takes on the paparazzi. I mean, that's what the show's
the world's youngest paparazzi.
So are they,
yeah,
right?
There
speaking
he is,
of paparazzi,
right,
little Tommy Hommel.
Yeah.
I was at this No Hate charity event the other night,
yeah.
and TMZ was there, and I was there with Jody Sweet, and,
wow.
and they talked to us, and they were asking me about my stand-up, and it's so funny because once they know you're going to be there, especially if it's here in Hollywood somewhere,
yeah.
they just track you down.
Yeah.
And you just have to be nice or you look like such a jerk. Some of those people just look like, wow, you're a grumpy person.
Right. Well, and you come off as a nice guy, and I know Mike, and I know Mike's friends, and they're all really nice people. So I assume you're very nice. So do you?
Fooled you.
Yeah, maybe.
Totally fooled you.
Maybe.
Asshole.
So, but wow. does it bother, like, when the paparazzi bothers you, or, you know, does it bother you? Like, what about it?
Not at all.
No.
You know, I, it comes with the territory, and you know, you shouldn't get famous. You shouldn't. You shouldn't go on television if you don't want people knowing who you are. There's once you're on television and you're in movies and you get some kind of notoriety, you know, you kind of that's the trade you make.
Now, tell me about the song Hot Dog Chili Man. I need to know about it.
Wow, that was Tobias
wanted to know about it as well, our booker.
Yeah, that was born just down the street here at a competitor's hot dog stand, Pink's.
Yeah.
And so I did that show on Nickelodeon, Out of Control, in 1984, and we never had a script. It was always, let's go, we're going to make hot dogs today. And I improv that song, Burpin' Chili Man, and Bob Hughes, who was the producer, who was just great, gave me so much freedom, and he said, I really like that. Let's go record it. And so we did, and it kind of became this theme for Out of Control.
That's great. You should do Hot Dog Chili Man here, though. You should give Mike the rights so he could play it.
Never.
Never.
Never. Never.
Let me ask you, though, too, about a lot of people wanted to know. This isn't something I'm too curious about, but a lot of people that wrote in wanted to know about you and Bob Saget are two very funny, but very, you guys can be dirty, sometimes are dark. You're a comedian.
Right.
And how was it like on the set of Full House? They wanted to know about, were you yourselves around working with kids? Were you mindful of it? How did that work?
Well, we had to be mindful of it because all the kids' mothers were there. would accompany them to work. So we got caught so many times, though, like, you know, walking around in our underwear, mooning each other, doing something stupid. And, you know, we were always in trouble with the moms.
Oh,
and so, you know, and you're in a very adult world. I mean, when the network and the studio wants your show done in 5 days, you can't really goof around. It's, you know, you get down to business. And so you know, there were times where we really had to work, and you have to stay there till midnight until you get what you need to get. And so I'm sorry I'm distracted because I see a monkey riding a dog on the screen up here.
What?
And that is entertainment. That is...
It's pretty great.
That is so much more entertaining than what we're talking about right now. That is...
Oh, God.
That is just fantastic.
He's riding him.
You know, I could just get that and put it on a loop in my house and be so happy.
I know.
That was great.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
All these people are sending questions, too. I'm looking all over on my phone. I'm getting questions.
Did I answer your last question? I kind of got distracted by the monkey on the horse.
Yeah, you answered.
You did.
Okay.
You
answered it. They were just curious about what a comedian does when they're around kids. And I mean, I think even for me, like, I'm mindful. I try, but I fail sometimes.
I fail a lot.
Well, yeah.
You know,
people don't bring their kids around me if they
bye, Tommy.
Want to.
Thanks,
they know.
Buddy.
That's what I like. My friend's parent, my friend's, adhere their kid to me. Not, I don't have to adhere to their kid.
Right.
They teach him right.
I don't know, but since I've been out here, the only people I know who have, like, small kids, you know, I know Mike's kids and whatever, but, like, Ken Hommel, he's got Tommy and Chris, and they're, like, 7 and 5, and we went out to this pizza joint, Robbie Max, and I'm sitting there, and we're just having a conversation, and I get sometimes a little offensive and dirty, and I really got to watch it around the kids. And then you automatically want to make it up to them, like play Green Lantern with them or whatever, and let them kill you and shit. But, you know, I can't even swear. Like Tommy's here. I'm like, oh, I can't even cuss. So, yeah, I get how that is. Now,
they're gone.
Yeah.
You could get it out if you want.
Yeah, now we can say
the
story at the top of the show was about a 16-year-old that died from masturbating.
Right.
I don't have to use
wow.
entendre now.
Right.
Wow. That
we can get Dave's take on it now.
Dave, 42 times in a row, this kid
like
in Brazil.
That's not fair.
No.
That's just not fair. You know,
especially
he's 16.
Yeah, 16.
I know.
So do you have a heart attack? Or are you just?
It did not say in the story. It said they took him to the hospital. He died.
Maybe like
42 times in a row. Start after midnight, and
so you're coming and going at the same time.
Oh, beautiful.
That's awful, isn't
it?
I was telling Lee,
I go, I want to make jokes about this, but some 16-year-old kid's dead.
Yeah,
well,
here's the thing.
But he died happy.
I think we can all agree 16 is a way too young age to kill yourself masturbating. At least wait until you're 25.
Yeah.
And you're guilty.
Yeah.
And you're
something.
Guilty. I was going to ask you, you've done a lot of Robot Chicken, haven't you?
Oh, thank goodness there wasn't a segue into
a different
subject.
Yeah,
yeah.
No.
Speaking
of
that,
how much have you masturbated on Robot Chicken?
I was going to ask you.
Robot,
choke
your chicken. Yeah, there you go.
You know, that was such a fun show to do.
Yeah.
That's like the ultimate pot smoker show, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like I was recording those with Seth Green, and he was such a great guy.
Did Seth know about your voices? Though he knew of your background, everything.
Yeah.
Seth was from the generation.
Yeah. So what does
like,
he do? Does he
growing
call,
up watching? Full
right.
Out. He knows Dave.
Does he like call you up though? Yeah, but Dave does all these voices. I mean, I think he did Popeye, Fred Flintstone.
Yeah, all these crazy voices. But he just came in, and they, you know, he knew the voices that I did already, so he did some homework, obviously, and then. It was so much fun, and the show I'm on now is called China, Illinois. Have you seen that?
Yeah. No, I haven't seen it. I've read that you're on.
It's just real. Oh, it's just so weird. I play Filthy Ronald Reagan in an episode.
Where can we find the show?
It's on Adult Swim.
Adult Swim.
Cartoon Network. Or is that Adult Swim?
Yeah, that's
Adult
Cartoon
Swim.
Network. Yeah.
Adult Swim, yeah.
Yeah. And
so, but it's just the most irreverent, weird show, you know.
So what are your favorite voices to do? I told you my favorite of yours is Albert Einstein. It's just my favorite. I don't know why.
Albert Brooks, you mean? Really?
Yeah.
I don't believe
you said,
it.
That's you said
great.
Oh, Bob Einstein.
Bob Einstein.
I like them both. I love
like,
Bob Einstein.
I don't think he does an Albert Einstein impression. Yeah. I wouldn't pay. Maybe he does.
Well, no, Albert Einstein
Bob,
Brooks.
Yeah.
Bob, or whatever he goes by.
Yes, it actually is Albert Einstein Brooks, and my parents were very cool. and I'm going to wear the yarmulke whether you like it or not.
It's just so good,
that's
as
good.
Bob Einstein.
That's
it's
good.
So good.
And that's, here's the thing, that's a hard one.
Yeah. So what's like your favorites? What's the ones you had to work on the most?
I like doing those obscure ones, you know, like a guy on my hockey team, you know, and all the guys laugh and they're like, that sounds just like him, you know. Those actually give me it's the ones that aren't mainstream that give me the
You don't do
happiness.
One of Mike, do you?
No, I don't. Because
he does one of me, and it's really bad.
Yeah.
Does he?
And he always says it's the only impression he can do. And I go, well, no.
I can't imagine doing one of Mike. I can't imagine doing that. I'd be like, here's my impression. I'm Mike Binder. There, that's it.
That's
your
impression.
Yeah, that's
a good one. That's a good one. That was solid.
Yeah.
No, that's great. So what's your stand-up dates looking like? Is there anything?
I'm going to be at Hilarities in Cleveland end of this month in a couple weeks, December 28th through the 30th.
Yeah.
And that's a great little comedy theater, man. They got a nice balcony, and it's it's a really great setup. It's in my top five in the country.
When you're in Chicago or the area, where do you go? Is improv, Zanies, and...
I haven't played Chicago in years. Maybe it's my fault, but I haven't played there. There used to be the Improv there, which was great.
Is there a place still in Michigan that you play?
The Comedy Castle.
Okay, so you'll go back and you'll,
formerly the Comedy Cave.
Yeah.
See, we're the same way. Like, Cigars and Stripes in Chicago, we love.
We love it.
I could be an A-lister. I'd still go back there and perform.
Yeah.
I love it.
There's something about that. You know?
What did you learn at the Comedy Castle? What did anyone, like... mentor you at all or anything and teach you how to be a comic?
You know, I really just devoured comedy. Any kind of
let's
get this over with.
Another kid jerked himself off
down
the block.
That poor kid.
He's trying to put out candles.
Wow.
So anyways, we were asking Dave about professional comedians.
Yeah,
stuff.
Anyway, getting back.
There were certain comedians that kind of changed the scene right before I started, and it was Steve Martin and Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Really changed things. And you could suddenly put an arrow on your head and walk on stage in a white suit with a banjo, and you were a comedian.
Yeah.
And it was so, you know, it was so alternative comedy at the time, and so was Robin Williams, and then Whoopi Goldberg, and, you know, they told stories, and they did characters, and it was just so different where you thought, wow, I could totally come up with something that's unique to me and be that guy.
Yeah.
So it really,
Yakov Smirnoff is out there.
Absolutely. In Russia, you don't watch television. Television watches you. It's always backwards.
In your country, we wait in line at bank. In my country, we wait in line to eat.
Yes. Baseball. How do you walk with four balls? You walk broadly. Yeah. These are the jokes. Yeah.
So I was going to ask you also, you told me you're writing a flick. What can you talk about it? Anything? Can you give us a hint?
Yeah, it's a Christmas movie, and I want
our friend
Mike Binder to direct it. And it's actually a really funny Christmas movie.
That's great.
I wrote a Christmas movie that no one could star in. It was called Santana Claus. And it was about a Mexican who saves Christmas.
Well, there's one guy that could have starred in it.
Well, it's
Carlos
like,
Santana Claus.
Right, or Santana Moss.
Yeah.
If he decides to get
like,
out of football.
Well, can George Lopez open a movie, you know? And, you know. So here I'd written this really, really funny movie, and everybody said, we got nobody to star in this.
Yeah.
So I wrote that movie, but there were so many elements in that Christmas movie that I loved.
What was Horatio Sands doing?
Oh,
yeah.
He's jolly.
Thin. He was
He's jolly.
Thin. He's thin now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Benicio del Toro. Yeah.
That was your one guy. You got in del
that's
Toro
it.
And that's it.
Yeah,
or
George
Billy
Lopez.
Bob Thornton's got to put on like some orange makeup or something.
Something. Yeah, something.
So you write this Christmas movie now.
And
what,
then, you know, I started talking to our pal Mike Binder, and I came up with a different Christmas-themed idea. And he said, you got to run with that. That's really, really funny.
Yeah.
And so I'm about halfway through writing the script, and it's turning
now,
out.
Now, he told me the same thing about my script, so that may not.
Yeah,
he just may be nice.
He says a lot of things.
He goes, Matt, you got a big summer comedy here. Just run with it.
You
got
to
go with it.
Yeah,
so you've listened to him before, and it's worked?
Yeah.
Because I'm a little nervous. I'm like, I'm listening to Mike here.
And, you know, we've never really – we did an HBO special called the Detroit Comedy Jam years ago.
Yeah.
And we've really never worked since.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's time. I have all these wonderful comedy friends, and I'm kind of like saying, you know, we should do something before we're dead.
Yeah.
You know, let's do something.
So this Christmas movie, is it more R-ish or more PG-ish?
No,
what are we thinking?
It's PG, and it's I can't really give it away.
Right.
But
what kind of comedy can we expect? What kind of?
There's a lot of broad scenes. There's
okay.
a lot of physical comedy
okay.
in it, and there's also some pathos and.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm writing a script, not a Christmas script, but I'm writing a comedy, and it's hard to balance all that, you know. And what are you finding? I'm in a draft right now where it's like, okay. You know, what are you finding works and doesn't work? How do you get through all that? What's your process like when you rewrite?
You better charge him for this.
I think you really have to lay it all out scene by scene and really, you know, there's a little bit of a formula.
Yeah.
And so I think you have to not only adhere to that movie, you know, storytelling formula, but I think you've got to have a really interesting idea.
Yeah.
A lot of people will just, you know, come up with something that's, you know, oh, this is a great idea, and they'll just start writing.
Yeah.
And you really can't do that. You really have to figure out what are your character arcs, what is their background, what is their, you know, what propels them through this story? Why do we like or not like this character? I think
yeah.
you really have to ask yourself all those important questions so that you've got this rich body of knowledge that you've cultivated within your own mind.
I agree.
To pull from while you write this
book. I agree. Do you ever feel like you don't have enough pages? Like, do you ever feel like you're at 110 and you're like, I can write 30 more. I can write 40 more. I'm not getting it all in.
Yeah, but that's why I say you have to plan the
arc.
Yeah. You have to, you know, there's a definite beginning, middle, and an end.
So what do you do when you have something really funny in your script, but you know it's taking up, like something's taking up too much room? How do you cut things?
I think you have to have a group of people that you trust
yeah.
that are funny, that are knowledgeable, and say, you know, that scene really didn't do it for me. You know, that's probably fat right there. You can cut that.
Okay.
I've written a bunch of movies, and they will probably never get made. I wrote another movie called Janet of the Apes about a girl who's born covered with hair.
Yeah.
And, then I wrote another movie called A Friend of the Family, and it's a funny Sopranos.
Yeah.
But there's like death and all kinds of,
yeah.
you know, but people
yeah.
die in funny ways.
Right.
You know, that'll never get made. So
do they at least get optioned? Are you getting them all optioned? And
no,
they're like, oh, we're going to make them.
No, my managers, my agents read them and they say, this is really, really good. I have no idea where to sell this.
Oh,
isn't that the best when they
yeah.
tell you you're doing something great and they have no clue what to do with it?
No idea.
It's like applying to Panera for a job and being told you're overqualified, right,
that's
Matt?
Right.
That is what happened to me,
yeah.
yes. I applied at Panera and they told me overqualified to make a fucking sandwich. There's some 60-year-old man slopping some ham on a sandwich right next to me when they're telling me this.
He's putting his meds in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the Walmart greeter.
And I go, yeah. I'm too good to make a sandwich? You want bad people. You want people that don't have degrees. And
right.
Yeah, okay.
Running
good
a convicts program, trying to get them on their feet.
Good to know. Well, Dave, is there anything else you need to promote or anything?
You know, I'm going to be out there doing stand-up this year.
And you can
really
check those dates on DaveCoulier.tv?
Yeah, you can get those. You can follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on Facebook.
What's your Twitter handle?
Twitter is just my name.
At Dave Coulier?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can find out what I'm doing there. I
yeah.
tweet my stand-up dates. But this is going to be the year that I just do a lot of stand-up and lots of theater dates.
And writing.
And writing, yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Do you see, you know, if Mike's too stubborn to make your movie, go Bobby Sachs.
You bet.
He's a funny guy,
and he's
a good director.
Oh, I love Bob. Funny director.
Dirty Work's one of my...
Very funny. Yep.
And if they would have let Bob make that movie the way he wanted to, it would have been even funnier. Because it was
yeah.
supposed to be a hard R movie, and
yeah.
now they would beg him to do it because
oh, yeah.
of all these R movies that are
oh, yeah.
hits. They beg him for that.
It was a little before that train was leaving
yeah.
the station.
That's when you know you're a genius. You come before
that's
the
right.
train, and then you make no money. that's a genius right there.
Well, it's like the 16-year-old who died.
He was
yeah.
way ahead of the
curve.
Came
before his time.
He came before his time. That's where I was going.
Dave, I appreciate you doing this so much. I think it's great having you on. I think you're a talented guy.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
And I think you have a big future coming your way. You may be the next Dave Coulier.
I think you're going to make it.
You may be the next Dave Coulier. Yeah. I think it may happen.
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah.
You know the problem is with that Dave Coulier? He thinks he's Dave Coulier.
Yeah.
No.
Is there anything about fame that you dig?
Yeah, there's little perks. Like we were talking Red Wings here, who are going to be playing here tonight. We're in a Detroit, we're Coney Dog LA, and it's a Detroit place here in Los Angeles. And one of the perks is I grew up a big Red Wings fan in Detroit, and now I'm an official member of the Red Wings alumni.
Wow,
so
cool.
I get to skate with those guys and
that's
play
wild.
Charity games and stuff. So that's one of those perks.
Are you still good?
No.
No. So when you're out there with them, are you like, this isn't working?
They're so much better. They're professional hockey guys, and there's guys that have only been out of the league a couple of years, and they're great players, So
is there anything that for you that you want to do in the future you haven't done?
There's a show. I'm a pilot. I think I mentioned that earlier. I've been flying since I was 17 years old. And there's a show I want to do called Winging It. And it would just be me basically throwing a dart at a map, and wherever it lands, I'll go and fly there.
So like a big travel show or
a travel
something.
Show where, I'm not just your host, I'm your captain.
You'll eat some food, too? Will you stop and get some grub?
Yeah, whatever's going on there.
If there's food, I'll watch.
Because I've flown to all these little airports in the United States.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you go in, and it's a fuel stop in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you're in the middle of cornfields.
Yeah.
And you walk in, you get some gas, and I'm always like, what's here? And the guy's like, largest ball of twine. I'm like, what? We got the largest ball of twine in town. You should go see it. And so I had a scooter in the back of my airplane. I used to bust that thing out, ride like a mile into town, and I would go see stuff like that. And I thought, that'd be a fun TV show.
Yeah. That would be good. Is there anything that scared you when you were learning how to fly or anything, though? Because I was talking to another buddy of mine who's also an actor, and he flies planes and blah, blah, blah. Is there anything like...
I know. I got to say, I can't imagine a lot of stand-ups being able to fly a plane. They are bundles of nerves.
Yeah.
So
what,
you can do that is
yeah, what
really
is it
something.
For you? Like, was there any scary moments when you were learning how to fly?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah. There's been a few scary moments, but... For the amount of time I've spent in an airplane flying myself, it's such a small, it's 0.00 whatever of the amount of time. So I feel much safer up there than I do driving a car around L.A. here.
Yeah.
I really do.
I may agree with you there.
I really do. Yeah.
I have no flying experience, and I may be safer flying than driving around L.A.
Yeah. Not a whole lot of pilots are, flying while they're tweeting,
No.
I don't
think. Worst. I was going to ask you, did you have to take that test when you got your pilot's license where they, blindfold you?
Yeah, that's for instrument conditions. And I have my instrument rating, so that's called flying under the hood.
Yeah.
And you put these blinders on, and all you can see are your instruments.
And you were totally cool with that. No big whoop.
Yeah, I had had a lot of training prior to that.
And you've never flown through any storms or anything?
Oh, nothing? Yeah.
Oh, what do you do when you're doing that? Is there any holy shit moments?
There's plenty of SHIT moments, man. They are. You know what? I just learned that SHIT... when ships would come over here, Spanish galleons, they used to bring fertilizer over from Europe. You know this story already?
No.
And what happens is when fertilizer mixes with salt water, it can create gas and explode in the hull of the ship. So they used to write SHIT on the outside of the fertilizer, which means store high in transit. I'm not even making that up.
So they were. Do you think that's what shit came from then?
I'm pretty sure
it's
that's
gotta
where
be
it came
it,
from.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't when that
taking
crazy?
A crap comes from Thomas Crapper, who invented the toilet. So that's why Earth's called taking a crap.
Wow.
God, I wish I knew these things.
But S-H-I-T, that's
I don't think these things are going to help me get laid, though.
No.
I don't think I can go to the bar and be like, so you know why they call it the you're taking a crap.
So therefore, that knowledge is completely worthless.
But no. if you can be like that 16-year-old kid, bless him.
Oh, poor kid.
That will get you places.
I love that.
Where is Mike? He's working.
He's fixing
over there. He's fixing a sign. He's got the screwdriver going.
He's obsessed with that.
He's obsessed with that fucking sign. Yeah, I think he's wearing a cup.
Could you ever see yourself opening a business like this? Like an eatery?
No. Dave's not crazy.
No. Totally out of his mind. He's out of his mind.
It's rough.
Dave, he's been fucking with this sign for like 5 days. Five days.
Yeah.
He's like, crazy. It just doesn't work. And he gets mad. And he's like, Maddie,
send
this sign is not working. And I'm like, well, what do you want me to do about it?
That's his best mic.
Send it back.
Yeah.
Send it back.
Already bought and paid for.
He's possessed. Look at that.
I know. He's like so into it, man.
I know.
He's so into the food here, everything. Like, have you seen him cook? Like, he'll go behind there and cook.
Yeah. Well, you know, Lafayette, Coney Island, and Detroit is a big deal. And every time Mike and I go there, we're, you know, sitting at Coney Island back in Detroit. So, it's no surprise he opened this place. And the food's great.
Yeah, it totally compares to the Lafayette.
It's the same dog, same chili. Yeah, it's really good.
That's great, man. I'm so happy you did this, and I love coming here. And Mike's been the best, and I really hope that'd be a good combo, you and Mike working together.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I'd like to see that. He's a good director.
I see someone who could co-host the Winging It premise with you, maybe.
You know what's wrong with that Mike Binder? He thinks he's Mike Binder.
He's really pissed about his sign. You just don't want. You gotta get it fixed. Oh, you fixed it?
Yeah, fixed.
Are you impressed with yourself?
You know, I'm here promoting this guy's restaurant for him, doing a radio show, talking about it for an hour, and I get charged for the food.
You got charged?
Isn't that awful?
Oh, my God. What a friend.
I don't know. Hey,
it goes to a good cause. I'm totally kidding you.
We were talking about Mike. We were talking about you running 8 miles at UCLA, and not working out too well for you at first. Oh, that's funny.
The whole one.
That's funny. Oh
yeah.
Well, you know what? Yeah, like I said, I'm just really glad you did this. This is great.
I had a great time.
Oh, well, you should. You can talk about him right now.
You can.
You can come on right now, Mike.
Now they're playing that monkey riding the dog again.
He did. Oh. Called me Christian Shine Boy.
Lee, can you give Mike the mic for a couple minutes?
Yeah, I think Mike
said. Give him it for a couple minutes. He's got some stories.
And you know what?
Thursday by 10, he went. He was 16, 17 years old, and he had an 8x10 made. And there was like a glow behind it. It looked like... You know, old Portuguese women put Jesus Christ on their wall.
And you know, yeah. It, you know,
I mean,
you do all the goy jokes.
It had this glow behind him on the wall and on the 8x10, and he just had this pose, and he was such an angelic little kid. And it just looked like, I would love to be in your newest movie. I'm sure everything on the set would go down wonderfully.
And what Mike didn't know all those years is that my grandmother was Jewish. You never knew that.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, when I found that out, we started doing blow together.
I told him when we lived together how you'd write your movies downstairs smoking pot and my room was above.
Yeah.
And I'd wake up out of a stone sleep and just go, do we have any chips? You got any chips, Mike?
You didn't tell me you guys were roommates.
Yeah. Oh,
that's wild.
A long time.
That's wild. I would like to watch the reality show now of Mike and Dave being roommates, like today.
Believe me, it wouldn't be as exciting.
No?
This guy wrote me a letter, said that he was home one day, and he heard you and I not long ago on Mitch Albom's show, and he goes, you guys were so funny together, it was like a comedy team, like you guys were. He goes, have you ever thought of traveling and doing a comedy team together?
Have you ever thought about traveling, making no money, and doing a comedy team together?
We did that. It was called the Detroit Comedy Jam in 1984.
Yeah, and Lee and I are doing it, and it makes $0.
Yeah,
zero.
Right.
That's great.
All right, well, where are you at in the show? Are you wrapping up?
We're wrapping up.
Yeah, sure, we're wrapping up, whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm glad Dave came by, too. We need a...
Yeah, Drew, too, by the way. It was great.
Yeah, I'll tell you, a lot of people came in.
It was amazing.
Once you mentioned...
Usually Matthew has a lot more people here.
At least one or two.
When you mention Coney Dog LA in a tweet, people get fired up.
They get hungry... And they get dirty.
Yes, they do.
That's the thing.
They want to eat and shit at the same exact time.
That's the thing. I'm really fucking hungry right now. I'm dying.
Well,
I chose the cigarette over the food before the show.
You should have eaten the cigarette. You should have just eaten it.
Dave, you want a Coney?
No, I'm crapping my pants right now.
Dave's all veganed out today.
Yeah,
you know, if you had hamburgers and fries and hot dogs, I would have paid for it.
I had onion rings.
All right, I'll pay for that.
You're a vegan,
Dave?
No, I ate vegan here today. I want to try it.
Oh, okay. What do you usually get, like a turkey dog? You try to stay in shape, I bet.
No, it's a girl talking.
Yeah.
It was such a Detroit guy appeasing his girlfriend.
Let's just get the onion rings, make it look like I don't eat a lot.
Sweetheart, we're not fat, are we? No.
I'm surprised Dave didn't order just like onion.
Part of my body that gets fat.
His back. He gets a pot back. But look at him. He's looking svelte. Look how svelte he's looking.
He'd go, you got a pot back, dude.
Well, Mike's lost weight. He lost like 9 pounds doing this cleanse of his.
He's svelte.
I don't know. This cleanse thing's stupid, though, right?
Another 10 to go.
He says he's healthier. He says he's happier. So whatever. I think the cleanse is stupid because I'm.
That's for when I'm here.
Yeah.
When I'm here, I'm hungry as shit.
Yeah.
This is like fat bitter guy talking, but I think cleanses are stupid. It's only because I will never do it.
You know, I was at the hospital visiting a friend the other day, and there were three fat nurses guys working at the hospital, and I thought to myself, you know, being a fat nurse. Working at a hospital is like, and all I can come up with is, like being a fat nurse working at a hospital.
That's pretty.
No, it's kind of like being a lifeguard who's afraid of the water. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, if you can't get your shit together, how am I supposed to?
Yeah, right.
I'm looking at these three fat guys going, really? Really?
Oh.
That's all I could come up with.
Maybe I should become a nurse. That's what I need to do. Nah. I'd be the worst nurse ever. I woke up today. I was so happy. Life was so good.
You don't want people on the end of their time there to think that the death is coming for them.
They don't want to see the last thing they see is me.
Right. I bet if you ask them, what does death look like? And then you walk in, I'd say that it's that guy. That guy's being trusted with my care.
Well, you know what? You know what we need to do? We'll just need to get Dave a couple months from now. Get him on with him and Mike.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a new board.
There you go.
I have the fourth mic.
Yeah, we got to get another.
We'll get them on together. What else do I need? Speakers?
Yeah, and then...
Because I'm just rolling in that speaker dough.
And then you'll get...
Go out and get a whole new
system. Yeah, and then you'll get four people here.
Do you guys know? Yeah. Do you guys know any guys who have speakers in the back of their trucks? Is there anyone? No.
I'm sure this time of year, the holidays. Yeah, I'm sure.
Saget's got to be driving around with a truck with TVs and shit in the back
of
it, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's good. So now I need to get speakers, Lee.
Yeah.
The money tree is running low.
How much, I mean, we are, selling drugs is right around the corner for us.
Around the corner? You haven't been doing it yet?
Yeah. Well, I sort of have a job somehow.
Oh,
somehow.
Yeah, he caddies, and he has like a different celebrity caddies for every day.
I'm not going to say on the show.
Oh, you can't?
My mom told me not to, and I'm not going to.
Really?
Yeah.
Bel Air.
Do you golf, Dave?
Lakeside.
Well, no, you. I caddied for. Yeah, I had
Riviera.
I caddied for Richard Karn.
Yeah, Richard Karn. That was exciting for me.
Yeah, it was exciting for me. George Lopez was in our group.
That's Lakeside.
No, not Richard Pryor.
I already guessed. It's Lakeside.
Mike, when would have Lee caddied for Richard Pryor?
When he was alive, I wouldn't have been able
during
to.
During that slash and burn
yeah,
tour.
Yeah, he has MS.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That yeah. was funny.
He did.
I only got so many stories, Mike. You know I got that one in there. Yeah.
I love that Richard Pryor story, though. That's pretty good. Yeah, I'm letting him go home. Jesus Christ.
Well, thank you, fellas.
Thank you, Dave. Dave Coulier.
It's been a lot of fun. Thanks.
DaveCoulier.tv, CantGetArrestedShow.com. Hitting the comedy tour, Flappers, I know, in January. I'll be there for that.
And you're
yeah,
going to be in Cleveland?
Cleveland.
I'll be in Cleveland December 28th through the 30th. And then I go to Kansas City the second week of – I'll be at Stanford's
yeah.
in Kansas City second week of January. Third week I'm at Flappers. And then the week after that I am – crap, I forgot.
That's good.
Yeah,
we're
I
good.
Forgot.
Well, thank you, and I want to tell our audience thank you for tuning in. I know we're cutting out a little early today, but the interview was so good.
I think so.
No, we're done now.
Oh,
look, when Mike Binder walks in and says you're done,
yeah,
I wrap up.
Yeah.
Mike, it was good. We did the interview. It was good. Dave, would you tell them we're done?
We learned our goodbyes already.
We're like about to circle jerk. We don't got anything else going on.
We learned a lot today. 41 times is the cutoff.
Yeah, 41.
And,
Mike doesn't know that some kid died masturbating 42 times in a row last night.
In South America.
In Brazil, yeah. Look it up on the interwebs. I don't know. They won't say. They don't have a cause yet.
His brain probably exploded. Yeah.
I can't, 3, 2.
Is one time in a row?
Look, yeah, I was going to say.
Once is in a
if
row.
If I'm
right?
lucky okay. to get off one time, I'm asleep.
I did it. I was in a sauna. I thought then that was the end of me.
You're telling me this story again, and I'm still as grossed out as I was yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Kim Jong Il. How am I mixing up some kid masturbating to death with Kim Jong Il?
Oh.
Kim Jong-il masturbate. Is that what Kim Jong-il did? He suffocated himself while masturbating.
Yeah.
Get
he asphyxiated
here.
Himself after we talked about that in the show. I didn't know it was this.
Oh.
Did they really?
Probably had his gun pointed at South Korea the whole time.
I love
too.
The Mike Binder news. You can't trust any of it.
No, you can't.
No. No, but it sounds as real as a guy masturbating 41 times and dying.
I read the news article. I got to take their word. Those South American papers don't lie. I don't know.
First of all, if you find a guy dead, how do you figure out how many times he masturbated? I mean,
because he was on a webcam.
Scratch marks on the wall.
Yeah. Like he's in prison.
Like he's in prison.
One.
Little scratch mark.
Yeah. I'm going to Google it. Watch this. Mike does not believe this story. Kid masturbate to death. Okay. Here you go. Boy dies after masturbating 42 times.
So is it a heart attack?
I mean, it's all over,
that's
too.
That's awful.
It's all over.
That. So what was it, actually? What do you die from?
They said they don't have what is it, a result yet about it?
It must be lack of bodily fluids.
That's what I said earlier. I said, you're coming and going at the same time.
Shockingly, it hasn't made the Huffington Post yet. I guess they don't want to come.
Spanked himself off the planet.
It's in the Huff and Puffington Post. Good night, everybody. Good night.
It's coming and going at the same time.
Ah! It's like the joke. If Leno does that tonight, then it's like the trifecta.
Yep.
That's good. Okay. Well, Mike is going to now feed me.
All right, guys.
After Mike's done breaking all the equipment.
I'm gonna go
when you run 8 times When you run around UCLA, you can just break microphones at will.
Look at that.
Now you're shotgunning a mic.
Think you own the place?
Oh, Dave, we got to get Dave out of here. He hates us.
No,
all right. Thank
Not
you,
all.
Ladies and gentlemen, for listening. Dave Coulier, DaveCoulier.tv, CantGetArrestedShow.com. Check him out live if he's in your area. If you're in Chicago, you may be fucked. But thank you, Dave, very much. And
thanks,
for real this time, we're saying goodbye.
Right.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks.